Welcome to T.S. Wright Speaks. Well, this morning we are going to talk about and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to just tell you the theme for this is the old is gone and the new has come. Remember that. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, what's going to be good this morning is we're actually going to be turning our Bibles a few times. So be prepared, as we've got some passages that we're going to include that these are all tied together. They really do work together. So let me start with 2 Corinthians. If you want to go to verse 15, we're going to read verse 15 through 21. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Although we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there is a lot packed just in those few verses, all right? But this passage is really understanding how God makes us his ambassadors. However, what we're going to focus on is there's a phrase in here. If we go back to verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So the old goes away and the new comes. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, if we're being honest with ourselves, there is, and we remember our scripture readings, one of the most famous passages in the world when we talk about the Bible, and even people who aren't Christians will sometimes know this. A lot of them even know this one because they've heard it. We see it displayed. Sometimes you'll see signs at ball games and rallies and things. And it's John chapter 3. Now, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever so believeth him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right. If we dial it back just a little bit in that passage, this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And I've talked on this here recently, but I'm just going to reiterate this because I think it's important for what we're reading in 2 Corinthians, is that truly, truly, I tell you, this is verse 5, John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but the Spirit is born of the Spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. So we've talked about a person who's dead has to be reborn into life, has to be resurrected, and they're resurrected through Jesus Christ because he resurrected. Well, we must be born again means when we're born again, whatever was there before is gone. Because once we're born, something completely has, we've completely changed. There's a new creation. And so in relationship, there's a lot of meaning behind all of this and what Jesus is saying. And of course, him and Nicodemus are having this conversation. You know, Nicodemus is, he's struggling with this whole born again thing, but it is in the spirit that we're born again and it changes us. That means what we were before is no longer in existence. It's died. It's gone. If we go to Luke chapter 9 and we go down to verse 62, then Jesus declared, no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why is that? What Jesus is talking about, if you read this passage, is the cost of following him. He truly is. It's really the cost of discipleship is another way to think of it. And there's plenty of passages on that. But if you think about this in relationship, once we put our hand to the plow, once we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, which you can pull that out of Psalm 34, verse 8, guess what? Guess what? That means once you know that, there's no going back. It's the same thing. We don't put our hand to the plow and push and then look backwards. The plow is going to come out of the, it's going to come out of the ground. We're going to take it in the wrong direction. And we certainly don't want to turn it back around. We can't put the ground back the way it was. Once our hearts become fertile to Christ, and once they've received, we've received Christ, we are completely different. I wish I had truly understood this when I first came to Christ, which has been well over 30 years ago. The thing is that it took me a while to learn how to live in Christ. It really did. Because some of the old patterns still hung on. There were things I still were doing that wasn't right at that time. But God moved me out of that. And he changed me. And he changes you too. I mean, he does this for all of us. But the thing is that we have to realize that we have to grasp what we have become in Christ once we receive him. That's really the truth. And what's really happened is now we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we have to give way so the Holy Spirit can be on the throne. We have to put Jesus on the throne and the Holy Spirit take over our life. Because once he does that, then all these other things that we hear that we sometimes interpret as rules and regulations and, you know, kind of get a legalistic thinking about, they just become natural. You want to understand how to apply the fruits of the Spirit? Don't apply them at all. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you into them. It's really about surrendering the Spirit, and he'll just lead you to it. He'll lead you to love. He'll lead you to joy. He'll lead you to peace and patience that only he can give. We cannot earn that of ourselves. You can't do anything to earn God's favor. You can't do anything to earn the fruits. You don't earn them. You surrender to the Spirit, and he puts them and brings them into you because naturally that's who the Holy Spirit is. He convicts, he changes, he shapes, and then he produces fruit. So think about that. Apply that knowledge. Understand that, because as we gain the knowledge of God, we do that because the Holy Spirit implants it in us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. These are all gifts of the Spirit. He gives us faith to trust. We need to have unexplained peace. Do you have unexplained peace today? Has the old gone and the new come? Or do you struggle with things like anxiety and depression and mental health issues? I'm going to tell you, cloak yourself in the Holy Spirit. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. He will handle these things for you. I'm not saying that there are every once in a while situations, but I would say that this is not the majority of people. This is the very, very, very small minority that there are chemical things going on in somebody. Okay, I get it. It happens. But let's not put ourselves in that boat first. Let's put ourselves in the boat that the Holy Spirit needs to take over and let him change us. And then let's see where our mental health is, because mental health has become a big thing. And the problem is, even in the church, even people who, quote, have received Christ, if they really did, is when the Holy Spirit takes over, he brings you all those things. Why? Because it goes right back to what we just read. The old is gone and the new has come. He changes us. He changes our thinking. He changes who we are. He changes how we react. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. He doesn't just leave us sitting there in that we're just stuck in this. No, he puts his Holy Spirit in us. It's our deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance, but it is also what lives inside of us and lives Christ out through us. And we have to surrender to that. We need to surrender to it. That is the key to our life. It is the entire key. It will take care of, I would say, most of the issues that you have internally. It will. And he'll teach you how to fight with the spiritual weapons. The Holy Spirit will teach you these things. And other people will help you with that as well. We can't be islands. We've got to be in community. All right. That's such an important part. We've got to be in community, because if I have the Holy Spirit in me and I've got somebody else having the Holy Spirit in them, we're going to be testifying to each other. That's right. And we're going to be helping each other. And we're going to be reminding each other when we kind of start to fall short that we bring each other back. That's that natural accountability that we all need. But we need to be around people who have the Spirit. If you are a new believer, I'm going to challenge you not to be going out and sharing your faith immediately. You need to learn how to do that. But what you do need to do is you need to get around people who've been Christians for a while and just let them help you. Surrender and let them help you. And as you do that, then sharing your faith will become a lot easier because you'll see them do it. You'll see them display it. Even Paul trained for 3 years before he started his ministries, before he started going out and doing the things that we've read about Paul in the book of Acts and understanding when we read his 13 epistles, basically letters to those churches. But here's the thing. Have you taken off the old self and put on the new self? The new self should lead you to understanding. Now, to an understanding of peace, all right, and being patient and having love and joy in your heart. I am motivated by love because the Holy Spirit gives me that love. He truly does, in a way that I can't explain to you. You know, Paul talks about that. He said, and the peace of the Lord, which transcends all understanding, will be with you. All right. Basically, we guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace will be with us by doing that. So here's the thing. What is it that you're lacking right now? You know, what is it that is impacting you? What is keeping you from putting on the new self? What is keeping you in the old self? I'm curious. You know, there's so much of that. There's so much. I just see people struggling and just struggle and struggle. You know what? I have issues. There's things going on in my life that are hard. But you know what? I don't lose faith because the Holy Spirit does it. It's not anything I do. By the way, I'll just read this entire little verse passage for you about that unexplainable peace. It's Philippians chapter 4, and it's verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, there you go. It's right there. We put those guardrails up on our hearts and our minds. We do it all by prayer and petition, and we'll have this unexplainable peace. And then that peace will continue to guard our hearts and our minds. It kind of all works in a cycle. It's funny how that works. You know, Psalm 100 is another good example. It really is, because if you go to verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. See, he's saying that because if you go to verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good and his loving devotion endures forever. And his faithfulness continues to all generations. So when you bring that in, okay, when you understand that, and to me, this relates to that, you're going to get that unexplainable peace and love and joy. Don't try to manufacture it yourself. You need to surrender the Holy Spirit and let him do it. How do we enter into that type of thinking? We pray. I'm telling you, it takes prayer. We have to pray to the Lord. We have to give it to him. We have to trust him. See, he's worthy of that. And he's the only one that can accomplish that in our lives. No one else can accomplish this. You can't even do it yourself. You know, you can't have a virtue chart list and try to find that or follow a bunch of rules to get yourself. You can make it look good and you can be good for goodness sakes if you want to be. But if you truly want to walk in the kingdom with that kingdom power, with this power of the Holy Spirit in you, you got to surrender to the Spirit. And you do that through prayer and reading his word. See, one thing that I've learned is if I read his, I like to recite his word back to him, and I do that. So let me give you some other passages because I think this is important enough for you to read multiple passages. Obviously, we went from 2 Corinthians today, chapter 5. We started with verse 15. You can read, again, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, Luke 9, 62, John 3, and I would actually start with verse 1 and just read the passage and really focus all the way down to I'd go down to about verse 8 and learning about being born again. Understand that. We have to be born again. Guess what? You can go to Colossians chapter 3, and it talks about this. All right? It gives us that picture. You start with verse 9, you get verse 10, but I would read the whole passage again. I would. But 9 and 10, they talk about basically you've taken off the old self with its practices, and it put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. All right? Ephesians chapter 4. You can start with verse 17, but you can start hammering home as we get into verse 21 and 22, all the way through 24. Okay, again, we're taking off the old self and putting on that new self. And how do we do that? By surrendering the Holy Spirit, by putting Jesus on the throne. And we do that through prayer and his word. We got to spend time. Those spiritual disciplines, you've heard us talk about that. Me and Joshua Spatha have talked about that on our recordings. And tomorrow you're going to hear us talk a little bit more about the spiritual disciplines. So put on the new self. Take off your old self. You don't need it. All right? Don't return to the comforts of old. Don't even try. First of all, you can't. It's not going to work the same because you're starting to think differently. And number two, if you do return it and it does come the same and you start thinking like you used to, that is a very dangerous place to be. We don't want to do that. That's not going to work. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, if you jump all the way down to verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Because you can grieve the Spirit. And you do that by continuing to do the practices of the old self. So we take off the old self, we put on the new self. How do we do that? By surrendering to the Holy Spirit and letting him take over. We surrender. That's how we do it. We don't do it because of our own efforts. We don't strive for it. He just naturally puts it in us. And again, I go right back to Philippians 4. When you do all this, you just, again, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we guard our hearts by prayer, petition, in his word. And then guess what? In return, he gives us that peace, which in return is beyond anything we can understand, which in return will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It kind of all feeds itself, right? It just keeps feeding back into itself. So, you know, it's really about a mindset. It truly is. Is my mindset that I want to be invested and surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Truly, I'm invested in Christ and his calling. And I surrender to the Holy Spirit to take over my life. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to give all of it up for him? Take the old self off, put on the new self. Here's the thing. Here's why it's worth it. This life's temporary. It is. We're not going to last forever. And we need to be resurrected. Because the Bible tells us we're dead in our transgressions. Not sick, not struggling, not having issues. We're dead. Okay, you can't give a dead corpse medicine and revive them. They have to be resurrected. And once we're resurrected and we're new, we're completely changed. We don't want to return to the old self. Trust me, I've done that before. And you don't want to return to that old self. I did that when I was younger. Okay, you don't want to do that. You don't want to return to your old self. You want to be the new self, the one that is led in the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day and thank you for your blessing. Lord, we pray now that anyone that doesn't know you, that they surrender. And if that is on your heart and you're not sure you know the Lord, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And thank you for resurrecting to give me eternal life. And thank you for resurrecting me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And thank you for all that you've done for me. Now, Lord, take over my life. Give me the Holy Spirit and make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I also want to pray for all of you that maybe have struggled. You know Christ, but you struggling with that new self, old self. So here it is. Lord, help us to put on the new self and rid ourselves of the old practices. We're dead to that, and we're alive in Christ. We no longer are alive to sin. We're dead to sin, and we're alive in Christ. Lord, we receive your Spirit, and we now surrender to your Spirit to live by the Spirit. We commit that our, by prayer, petition, by reading your word, that we're going to let that filter in our hearts daily. That's going to be our commitment. Our commitment is to practice these daily and to surrender and to enjoy the time that we have with you when we're doing that. Lord, thank you for giving us that privilege to connect with you and then eventually to share your kingdom with others. Make me into your disciple and make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. See, this is what we want to do. We want to continue to surrender. And I'm telling you, I've been a Christ follower for well over 30 years, and it's still continual. It is. And that peace doesn't end. But we have to continue to surrender to the Holy Spirit. That does not mean I'm perfect. That does not mean I don't have struggles. That does not mean there's not situations and circumstances in my life that are perfect. No. But the peace of Christ will be with me. Remember this, Paul, many times when he's writing these letters and he's saying these things, he's doing so in prison. He's doing so in the threat of death. I mean, he faced death daily. He knew that. And he knew every day he might die. His life was not comfortable. But once he changed, he changed. After what happened to him on the road to Damascus, he never turned back. When he put his hand to the plow, he did not look back. When he took off the old self, he took hold of the new self. And he teaches us that even the worst of all sinners can change. He calls himself the worst of all sinners because he tried to literally destroy Christ in the church. That's right. So we have to remember this. Embrace what I'm telling you. Pray in the Spirit. Turn yourself over to Christ and let him make you that. Let him show you what that new creation is like. Really do that. Surrender to the Holy Spirit today. Even if we receive Christ, we still have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Spirit, like it says in Ephesians 4. All right, Ephesians 4 talks a lot about this. You can go to Galatians chapter 5. So Paul is continually talking to all these churches about living in the Spirit. Are we willing to take off the old self and live in the new self and live and be Spirit-led? Are we willing to do that? Our call to action today is surrender to the Holy Spirit. Do that little check in you. You know, Psalm, I love the Psalms. They're terrific, aren't they? I love Psalms. You know, and what we can do is we can go over to Psalm 139. It's a great Psalm. It truly is. And what we do is we go down to the bottom of that particular chapter and we start with verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let God search your heart right now. Let him speak to you. Be open to him. Just open yourself up. He knows everything anyway. Thing is, if you go up to verse 1 of Psalm 139, it says, Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me and have known me. Yet when I sit and when I rise, and it just continues on from there. You just read the whole chapter, and it's just about how well God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That's right. So let him do that to you to see where the Spirit needs to step in, where you need to surrender. Do that today. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do it right now. So if you haven't already, make sure that you are going to check out JesusSaid.tv. JesusSaid.tv, you can, obviously some of you are watching this on JesusSaid.tv. You may be listening to this on our audio programs, whether you're listening to Spotify, Apple, Audible, Amazon, iHeartRadio, or whatever other podcast platforms that this comes up on, certainly go over to JesusSaid.tv and you can see lots of great Christian content and messages being broadcasted right there. Go to TSWrightSpeaks.com. TSWrightSpeaks.com is where you can find our book, Embracing the Truth, start learning about true discipleship. And if you want to, you can message me if you're interested in buying a bulk order. If you have something you may want to, programming you yourself want to put on JesusSaid.tv, feel free to go over there, send me a message, and we can have that discussion. Anyway, thank you guys for being a part of this community, and thank you for all that you do. And I just pray blessing upon all of you. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.